Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and really crazy martinis for you today. As usual, we start with the good. And, Jim, obviously we're a long ways away from Election Day 2016, whether you're talking about president, House, Senate, governorships, whatever. But we're still already looking at the polling, and we've already talked about this once. In Pennsylvania, one of the states that the Democrats definitely have circled as a likely pickup, or certainly one they want to pick up, is the Senate seat currently held by first-term Republican Pat Toomey. And right now, Harper polling shows that they have a very long way to go indeed. And right now, Pat Toomey has 54% favorability rating in the state. That's very good, and it seems to be the case in every part of the state, including some of the more critical parts of the state, like the Philadelphia suburbs and so forth. He's running against people who obviously have work to do on name ID, but he's well above 50%, whether it's against Joe Sestak, the one name most folks will recognize from last time, or Josh Shapiro, or Ed Pawlowski. So it's 55%, 54%, 53%, no matter who he's running against. Pat Toomey's starting in a very strong position, Jim.
Yeah, and it's reassuring. A couple months ago, you and I had talked about some polling numbers that showed really not great numbers for Pat Toomey, and some very ominous numbers next door in Ohio for Senator Rob Portman. So maybe that was just an off day for that pollster, or maybe something really has changed in the last few months. I think just the simplest explanation here is that Toomey's been doing a pretty solid job. He is not a guy who's going to go off and say something half-cocked or unwise or something that's going to play terribly controversially. He irked some of his conservative allies when he signed up with Manchin for a proposal after Sandy Hook that some folks saw as a wavering of his stance on Second Amendment rights and was going to involve background checks at gun shows. That did not pass. He went to Pennsylvania gun owners and said, look, this is why I did it. I still respect you guys. I understand if you disagree. I'm going to be your ally from here on out, and I don't want you to, you know, this to leave bad blood. Some gun owners in Pennsylvania have patched things up. Some haven't. But all in all, besides the fact that I like the guy a whole lot, if you're in Pennsylvania, you're not going to find a better Republican than Pat Toomey, particularly to win statewide. Now, we shouldn't have any illusions. High turnout in a presidential year. Pennsylvania is a state that breaks Republicans' hearts about every 4 years. So still not easy, but I think it's safe to say that the Democrats can't look at any of their contenders, not even Sestak, and say, oh yeah, that guy's really going to take it to Toomey and got a good shot in 2016.
Exactly. And just because the Democrats usually pull it out in the presidential race doesn't necessarily mean that the Senate race is in the bag for them as well. Obviously, Al Gore beat George W. Bush there in 2000, yet Rick Santorum still managed to win re-election to the Senate in Pennsylvania, and he's arguably even more conservative than Pat Toomey, at least on some issues. Pat Toomey is a very solid conservative on the vast majority of issues. So on to the bad martini now, and on to Jeb Bush's interview with Megyn Kelly on the Fox News Channel. Most of the attention today, for some reason, is that Jeb Bush, if he had been in the Senate or president back in 2002, would have made the same decision his brother made, same decision Hillary Clinton made to go to war against Iraq. While that's getting attention for looking back over a dozen years, the conservative base is looking at where Jeb Bush is on a number of other issues, namely Common Core and immigration. On the issue of immigration, Megyn Kelly brought up the president's action last year that obviously has a lot of conservatives still very rankled. And that's his unilateral extension to, I think, 5 million people here illegally that they will not be deported. Here's the exchange between Bush and Kelly on that.
I do understand and respect people's sentiments and frustrations about this broken system. And I totally understand why people are upset when Barack Obama, with a, you know, just a stroke of a pen through executive action, takes unconstitutional actions.
What about that? Would you reverse that if you became
absolutely
president?
Absolutely, I would.
How would you undo it once those folks are here?
Passing meaningful reform of immigration and make it part of it.
Jim, I would totally undo that and then make sure Congress passed it.
Yeah, that kind of misses the point of why people don't like it. You know, I mean, yes, are we outraged that this was done by executive order and overruling the views of Congress and this kind of anti-constitutional, I'm the king, I don't need anybody's permission to do this? Yeah, we do dislike that part. But we also have a problem with the policy. And I come kind of enter this this election cycle as something of a skeptic of Jeb Bush's odds here. I may be completely out of step. It's entirely possible that the Jeb Bush advertising tsunami takes place and all of a sudden people feel a lot better about him and his record when he was governor of Florida. But you just keep seeing this, the comments like these, indicating it's not just that he disagrees with folks in the base who have a real problem with the idea of people coming to the country illegally and then getting to work here and not getting to fear deportation. I mean, entirely separate from citizenship, that to people is amnesty. Citizenship for people who come here illegally definitely is amnesty. But I think even if you're not, if you're no longer fearing, oh, I've done something wrong and I'm going to have a consequence for it, a lot of Americans perceive that as amnesty. And I get the feeling that Jeb Bush either just doesn't get it, he just doesn't understand how they could feel that way, or he just refuses to see any validity to that viewpoint. And I think, you know, the first step for him making this not such a glaring weakness in the primaries is going to be a serious addressing of it. And this idea that I'm going to repeal the amnesty and then I'm going to repeal Obama's executive order and then I'll pass it legislatively. If you're a conservative who's got wariness about this and concerned about rewarding those who've broken the law, why on earth would you vote for Jeb Bush if he's willing to say, I'm just going to do what Obama did, just in a different manner?
Well, the one thing you can say for Jeb Bush is that while many conservatives don't like his message, he's at least on message. Can't be said for Rand Paul's campaign today as we shift to the crazy martini. He was up in New Hampshire yesterday, and no one has any idea what he talked about because of this, courtesy of Politico. No candidate likes being hounded by opposition researchers, but one member of Rand Paul's team has a peculiar way of expressing his distaste. At a town hall event Monday for Rand Paul in Londonderry, New Hampshire, the Kentucky Senator's political director for the state, David Chesley, licked the camera of a tracker sent by American Bridge, a left-leaning opposition research group. It was caught on camera, posted to American Bridge's YouTube account. The guy from American Bridge says, well, he'd been standing there trying to block the camera. That's not uncommon, though. Licking the camera, well, that's new to us. And when asked for a response, the Paul campaign just talked about what a great day he had and all the great conversations they had. Jim, of all the challenges in Republican campaigns, you'd think not making the opposition camera guy the story would have been learned by now.
Greg, am I alone in looking at this story and have coming at the question, is Rand Paul feeding his staff enough? Okay, so my serious answer and then my not so serious answer. My serious answer is, look, we've seen staffers get into shoving matches and you know, deal with opposition trackers in a much more overtly hostile way. He didn't call him macaca, you know, things like that. So all in all, I suppose going up and licking the camera is not the worst thing you could do. It's weird. Definitely. I wouldn't be surprised if that footage ends up getting used somehow. You know, Rand Paul employs staffers who lick other people's cameras. Can you really try, you know, or something? Maybe it's the sort of thing the Aqua Buddhists do. But the other thing, I just look at that. When I first saw this story and people were giving the Rand Paul staffer grief, I just want to observe, like, look, let those among us who have not licked a camera cast the first stone. In fact, one morning I missed a breakfast. It was just, I actually ate somebody else's camera one time. So really, all in all, this is not such a big deal, I think.
Well, at least it's early. You know, you got to get these stumbles out of the gate first.
That's a good point. Yeah. You know, by the way, we have our disagreements with Rand Paul, but if you're going to vote against him because one of his guys licked a camera, just sit in the corner. All right. Think about that. You ponder about that terrible, terrible reasoning. At this point, this is where you're like, Rand Paul should really get a sympathy call from Chris Christie about what happens when your staffers do bad things.
Exactly. It might be a new question for the interview process to come on as a staffer for the campaign, though. You know, what do you think about NSA collection of data? What do you think about drones? Are you tempted to lick other people's cameras? So
there you go.
It's just part of the vetting process now.
When I go out and say we got to lick the opposition, what comes to mind?
Jim, on that note, talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.